being called. How many knows that we have to be called to do anything? And you know, sometimes as preachers, you know, it took me a long time to unravel that. You know, I knew I was called, but then I didn't realize that I had to be called each time for a certain thing. And if you go out somewhere or I go out somewhere, it doesn't make any difference who it is, and we don't have that calling to go there, it's not going to work. But if we go with the God's approval upon it, it's going to work. And I want to go back to where we kind of ended up over there at Rolling Hills. I want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read a little bit here. 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's talking about a call. And I believe every Christian needs this. And it's called a call to glory. I want you to listen to this here. Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And here's the meat of it right here. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. Now, he's given unto us, and I'll tell you who us is in a few minutes. According to this divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he has called us someplace, but regardless of who we are, to glory and virtue. We'll get into that in just a minute. Now, us, we've trailed that out there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. The 19th verse said they went out from us, but they were not of us. They went out from us. Every church has had people that went out from you, but they wasn't of you. Whether you was right or wrong, they just wasn't of you. See, they went out from us. They went out, but they were not of us. Had they been of us, John said, they would have continued with us. But they went out to make manifest that they were not of us. Now, who is he talking about? In the scripture above that tells us exactly who he's talking about. He's talking about to them with the Antichrist spirit. John said, there are many Antichrists already. So look what we've got today. Amen? You know, they've just, most of the smaller Pentecostal churches that I know anymore, they just about all went out from us. We've got empty pews, but I'm going to tell you something. They've got something worse than we've got, because they've got things sitting in their pews that's not right with God. God is not going to honor that. He's not going to do that. Now, in this glory here, he has called us to us who is us. If you notice what that word said, they were not of us. Had they been of us. So who is us? That Peter tells you right here who they are. In verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now look, he's to them that have obtained what? Like precious faith with us. In other words, Peter said, if they're like us and they have the faith with us, then they are of us. You know, and then they'll stick with you. They'll bear the storm with you. They'll bear the prayer with you. They'll fight the fight with you. Because you know why? Because they were called to glory. According as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's take a look at the glory that he's called us to. We can look into that. How many knows that? We find that we can look into glory. How many know we got spiritual eyes? We got spiritual ears. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, verse 18. I'll just quote it. The Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
There's bondage is not there where the Spirit of the Lord is. When things begin to get bound, that's when the Spirit of the Lord is beginning to take his flight. You see, God's not going to stay with us unless we stay with him. Amen. See, this is us. It's with him. And he said, with us. Now, so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 said, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, what are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. We're looking at the glory of the Lord. What happens to us? We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Can you see that? See, we're called to glory by this measure that the Lord's that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with open face, beholding is in that glass, the glory of the Lord, and we can see the glory of the Lord spiritually, and we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Let's look a little bit into Hebrews chapter 1 about the glory and about the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in times past unto the Father by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now who's his Son? Let's look at this over. Whom he hath appointed as heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Who's he talking about? He's the brightness of the glory of the Father, and he is the express image of the Father. He's just like him. Well, what are we supposed to have? What are we supposed to be like? Let's go back and find out what we're supposed to be. We all with open face, beholding us in a glass. What are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. What happens to us? We change into the same image.
Yes.
How? From glory to glory. Just remember, Jesus is the glory of the Father, and we can change by looking at him. And it's not a measure of what we look like. It's what we do. It's the way we walk. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on, can you say amen?
Amen.
Lord. So we're to follow suit in this glorious thing, and we're to change into the same image as Jesus. How many believe we're supposed to be like Jesus?
Yeah, hallelujah.
How many believe everybody goes to church like Jesus?
Woo.
Oh, no. You know, a lot of folks just go to church.
Yes.
You know, I every now and then I ask somebody, I said, are you a Christian? I go to church. I said, they ain't want to ask you. I asked you, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you're like him. And you're continually changing into his image.
Always.
From glory to glory. Yes. Now, in fact, we find out here who is Jesus like. It's a pattern here. God, who at sundry times and times past spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Listen at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus is the brightness of the glory of the Father and the express image of the Father, and we can change into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. Oh, glory. I'd like to run if I could. But I'm stuck to the pulpit here. Come on. So once in a while I get excited. And I'm excited tonight because I know I've been preaching this for years. And every now and then I can hear myself shift up just a little higher. Yeah. You don't get it all at once. Yeah. You're always looking in that glass.
Yes,
and he's moving on. And we got to walk with him.
Yes.
We got to stay with him. We got to walk with him. We got to talk. We've got to look him over. We got to look what the Word of God said. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What is the glass? It's the church. It's the Bible. This is the book. What are we looking at? What we see? The glory. What are we called to? The glory. Glory and virtue. And the other night we got into that virtue, you know. A virtuous thought is what took the prodigal son home. Everything was gone except he had yet the ability to have a virtuous thought at a father's house. And he said, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not worthy to do anything. He said, I know what I'll do. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm not worthy to be a son. That virtuous thought took him on the long ways home. And when he got there, the father recognized that he had a virtuous thought. The woman with the issue of blood, the fifth chapter of the book of St. Mark, she said, a virtuous thought. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. She crept through the crowd, rubbed elbows with people, and she touched the hem of his garment. You know what he done? He turned and said, who touched me? The disciples said, you say, who touched you? Everybody's rubbing shoulders with you. They're touching you from every angle. He said, but I felt the virtue go out. You know what? She was called to glory and virtue. And when she touched that, a glorious thing happened. The virtue went out and she was made whole. For church, when we get ourselves back like we used to be and the power of God begins to fall, I'm really believing that it's going to fall again. We've got to have revival. We've got to have something going on that's going to set the captive free. Bind up the broken-hearted and set the captive free. I'm tired of seeing people play games. Go to church, sit there for 30 minutes, sing a dry song or two. I don't mean here tonight. I feel power here. I felt it where we come from too, up there rolling hill. I feel a churning in this area. A whole area I feel a churning. I've been wanting to come up here for a long time, but I guess I just didn't get the call yet. But I guess God helped me get the call, so here we are. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the calling, you know the word. John said, John 6:63 said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You can have all the fleshy and carnal services you want. It will profit not one bit. It'll not get anybody saved. They might go to the altar. And you know, I've seen some things that really, you know, I'm an old time Pentecostal preacher. I've been in this thing 56 years. I still believe in getting the Holy Ghost the way they used to get it. You know, one time I was in a place and they had an altar full of people. I had preached them and they got to the altar and there was some people down there just a weeping and a crying. Oh man, they was just about ready to break over and speak in tongues. And there was a woman in a line there and I noticed everyone she prayed for, she whispered in their ear and they quit crying. I edged my way over to the altar to see what she's doing. And I told another fellow, I said, find out what she's doing. She's tearing the spirit down. You know what she was telling him? He listened. She said, you don't need to cry. Oh, Lord, I need to cry once in a while.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, I get myself in the closet and I cry. Amen. I can be driving down the highway and I feel that call to cry. I feel that joy springing up. We need to come to a place that we're not got all that pride and stuff like that. And then I've got another place on down there. And they was telling them, repeat after me and you've got it. I'll tell you, you can repeat after somebody until you're blue in the face and until you're 90 years old. And you've not got it till God gives. God has a call out to God, and God will answer that calling in your life. Now, how many knows the Holy Ghost is for whosoever will? But you see, Jesus said in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets, word of John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached. What's he talking about? What is the kingdom of God that's to be preached? You know, the kingdom of God, first we've got to find out what it is. Romans 14:7, Paul writes, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen to it, in the Holy Ghost. It's not righteousness, peace, and joy out of the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is in you. Luke said, know ye not that the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. What's the first thing that Jesus said you're supposed to seek? Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Get down to business and you let God come in and present this righteousness unto you. You know, John the Revelator, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Somebody said he was too old, he was past 90 to get in the Spirit. Well, I'm going to, don't kid yourself. If anybody ever told you you're too old to get in the Spirit, that is a lie. So, you know, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a voice, and that voice told him how to write the book of Revelation. Yes. And that book of Revelations dealt with all seven churches that he was dealing with. And every church that he dealt with, he told them their good points, then he corrected them. I had a fellow the other day, I heard him, and here's what he said. He said, "We don't have to come to church and preach correction." He said, "Don't preach correction, all you do is love them."
Really?
Whoa! Well, I tell you, I'd like to talk it over with him. I don't know how to get a hold of him, but I'll tell you what, correction, you know what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. Church, our churches needs correction. I need correction. You need correction. And everybody in the church needs correction. It's not that we're beating on people, it's that we're correcting them.
Yes.
Well, the Bible has something to say about children that's not corrected.
Yes, it does.
I'll not go into that. Paul used a word there that I don't want him to use, but you know, it's illegitimate children in this correction thing. Now, so here we go. We're talking about the Spirit. And John wrote this book about the seven churches there on the Isle of Patmos. I suppose he was by himself, but he said, can you imagine that? 90 years old out there on the old island by himself.
Yeah.
Most folks would have worried themselves to death.
Yes, sir.
Pentecostals today would. They've got some grumpy, some grouchy, and some worried about self. But, hey, come on, you know what John done? He got a hold of God somehow, brother. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me this voice." And he wrote that book, and he told each church what was good about them, and he told each church what was bad about them. I can just see him, you know, when he tell them something good, they perk up a little bit, and when he tell them something bad, take the tuckhead, you know. You know, that thing will get us nowhere. It's repent. Peter said in Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord, and he shall send Jesus." Come on. He'll send Jesus. You'll find him when everything's worked out that way. And you know what he ended every church that he corrected there? Every one of them, he said, "He that hath an ear," they all got that message. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches." He's got an ear.
Yes, sir.
How many's got an ear? They can hear everything but preaching.
Preach it, Father. Say that again. Say that again, Father.
They can hear everything in the world.
Thank you,
what the words
are. Thank you, Father. You
know, they can hear what happened to everything down in the country. You know, they can gossip all over town.
Yes,
they can jump churches and all those kind of things,
sir.
In and out here and over there, some, and hear every kind of thing in the world.
Yes,
but
sir,
they can't hear what the Spirit has to say in the church. Church, it's time that we have some preaching in the church. It's time that we have some Holy Ghost, full time Holy Ghost power coming into the church. And back on up,
it's like you folks are backing up tonight.
This is real.
Huh?
This is real.
I like this.
Yes, sir.
I like the backing I'm getting. That makes me think I got called up here.
That's right.
Amen. I don't know what for, but I feel the calling. And you know, of course, I go lots of places. I feel the calling. You know, one time God called me to preach under a brush arbor down in the hills there, and it was almost as bad as Paul's time there. You know, There in the 16th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, Paul got a call. God was talking to him, dealing with him, to go over to Macedonia. Well, there he was, and he was getting, the churches was all getting set in order and everything. You can read it. I'm not going to take time to get in that very much. But really having it, getting everything, and churches set in order, people here getting saved, and churches being built and everything. And God began to deal with it. And he began to go like Paul wanted to go. So he was going to go someplace, one of these churches and other places, and the Holy Ghost forbid him. What if he'd been somebody who couldn't hear the Holy Ghost? Well, he'd escaped some things he'd like to escape, but he didn't escape them all. He listened to the Spirit and didn't go, but there was a man appeared to him in the night of Macedonia and said, come over and help us. Well, he heard what the Spirit said. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Now, it didn't all work out real good, but it worked out good in a way. He got over there, and then when he got over there, well, there was a woman followed him down the road, and she got delivered and everything. Then another came along, and she was practicing witchcraft or whatever it was, and the magistrates in the town was profiting from her craft. And he realized that she had the wrong spirit. And he turned and cast the spirit out of her. Yeah. This evil spirit, he cast it out of her. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen the devil cast out, but we people used to cast them out. But I guess it's because it scares everybody to death to cast one out anymore. Fear has torments. It has torments. So Paul cast this spirit out of this woman. Well, the magistrates and the people in the business and that, they were profiting from her business, and they got mad. I'll tell you what, when God begins to move, the devil gets mad.
Come on.
And it's time that we don't pay no attention to it. It's time we wade through. Remember, we've got a sword, we've got an armor, we've got the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6 said, and we're to put that whole armor on and advance. So, here we are. We've got Paul over there, and they come and got him and Silas, and they put him in jail. Now you see, if he hadn't heard the Spirit, he wouldn't have gotten in jail.
That's right.
There ain't nobody hunting a jailhouse.
No.
But he heard what the Spirit had, and so it got him to jail. I was amazed. The other day I was reading in the Bible that each one of them chapters in Acts, you know, one day there's Pentecost, 3,000 got saved, and in the next chapter 3, there was 5,000 got saved, and all kinds of things going on. And then the next chapter, they were in jail. Sometimes you get in jail, you know, sometimes you get persecuted. You know, people can't stand persecution, anymore. Everything's so good, we can't be persecuted. But you know, a little bit of persecution would help a whole lot of people. I'm not praying that they get it, but if God gives it to us, I'm sure it will help them a whole lot.
Yes,
and it might even help me. You know, suppose everybody don't love you. How many knows that? You know, I'm happy to be around people that love me, but everybody don't love me. And I have to preach to them. I have to deal with
them. That's right.
So, here we find Paul and Silas in jail. Now they've been beaten with a rod, stripes all over their back. They were in stocks. And how many knows what that stocks and bonds were? Right? Your hands, your neck, and your feet. They were in stocks and bonds. And they had them thrown in jail. And there they are, and it come midnight. You know, midnight is the time that God loves to move. It was midnight when the children of Israel began to move on the blood over the doorpost. It was midnight when the angel came through. It was midnight in Matthew chapter 25 when the bridegroom came to claim his bride. Midnight. At midnight. Here it is, midnight. What a place. Huh? What a thing. So here he is in midnight. I believe one of them, I don't say this, but I kind of like to kind of think good things myself. I believe Paul looked over at Silas and said, what do you think? I believe Silas looked over at him and said, what do you think? Now, they wasn't thinking something bad. I believe they said, Why don't we sing a few songs?
Okay.
And why don't we have a little prayer meeting?
Okay.
And why don't we have church? Oh, ain't got nothing else to do. And the guards sleep, so we just have church.
Yes,
amen. They begin to say praises unto God. Glory to God. And, they, and pretty soon they stood up, you know, and the shackles fell off.
Yes,
and the guard come running in there trying to get, going to try to get himself. Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. We're still here.
Yes,
and the next day, those folks that put them in the jail went down there and said, but turn them loose. Put them out the back door. They said, we're not going out no back door. Where do we come in the right way? We're going out the right way. Come on. Say, we're not going to please you one bit. We're going to go out the front door. Then you just see them when they marched out the front door. And those magistrates said, how'd they get loose? How'd they get loose? You know, we have people all the time that says, how could that happen? How could that happen? Well, you see, Paul and Silas, they were a team. You know, when let me tell you, the Bible says that when one will put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. Just think, you can take team up with somebody else, and you can whoop 10,000 devils when you can only get 1,000 of them yourself.
That's right.
Huh? Come on. This would be like me telling my wife, come on, honey, let's get them.
Yeah! Sick them!
Boy, she'll help me too. You get right in there, she'll pray. She'll sing. And we get this thing there straightened out. I'll tell you what, God is looking for somebody that'll get right down to business with Him anymore. And when we do, we're going to see other people begin to join into this thing. And we're going to have a powerful move of God. We've got to have revival. I don't see how the church can be ready to go with the Lord until we have revival. I believe it's too weak. I don't believe it's got enough of the glory yet.
Right.
I don't believe it's got enough of the glory. So, we're living in a time when we're called. We have to be called. Paul had to be called to Macedonia for that to happen. He didn't just go because he wanted to. And he didn't know. You know, God just takes us one step at a time sometimes. Not always does He tell us everything that's going to happen. You know, I've seen about everything. I used to say I've seen everything. I don't say that anymore because I haven't seen everything yet. Because somebody hatches out something that I never heard of before. Ain't that the way it was you? Somebody will come up with something that you've never seen before. About 40 years ago, 41 years ago, 1972 or 38, some people got together at Alton, Missouri, in Oregon County, a county I was raised in. They said, let's have revival. I said, I'm ready. There's a Baptist preacher there, and he said, yeah, I'm ready to have revival. And I thought, well, I'm going to get to preach with all of them. Churches won't let us in. How are we going to have this revival? This Baptist preacher said, he said, I've got a field out there. He said, if you just want to put up a brush arbor, he said, we'll put up a brush arbor and we'll have revival. He said, that's my field. Don't want nobody bothered. So they all got together. They had a brush arbor set up, you know, and ready to have revival. And the first night after they got it set up, the wind had come a storm and blowed it away. I went over there and I was talking to them and I said, what are we going to do now? They said, we're going to build this, that back. And said, we're going to have revival. I seen the people's in it, you know. See, people gets in the thing and this is going to happen. We've got to have people to get. So they got in it, you know, and we was having a revival, you know, and God was just a-moving. There was Pentecostals there. There was Baptists there. And even the Church of Christ, some of them got to come. And I couldn't hardly believe that. Small. But they came. They said, we wanted to hear that music. And you know, they were sitting there. And you know, there was a fellow came up there one night. And he sat down on the table. And somebody punched me and said, you know who that is? And I said, no. He said, he's probably one of the meanest men in Oregon County. Said he plays music in nightclubs, he fights, he runs around on his wife. Said he's a dangerous man. So there he was, and I looked out through the crowd, and I seen all of his family sat in there, his wife, all his children, sitting there. And he got up on there, there was a water can there, and he got up on the table where that was sitting and sat down there, and he was kind of mocking me, kind of grinning at me, smirking around. And I just kept praying, we kept singing, and after a while, he jumped off of that table and run into that altar and got gloriously saved. You know what? It was over 20 people followed him, and you know who they were? There was his wife, his children, and their family, and the whole family got saved. And there was another fellow there in the community, and he lived right across the road from where we was having that Rush Harbor, and he loved to tear churches, and he loved to tear revivals and all those kind of things. And he was an older-like fellow. So he came out there one night, and I was preaching on sin, you know, things like that, but I had to get him out of sin. You know, somebody said, how are you going to get him out of sin without preaching to him about sin? You know, sin is the thing we're after. So we were preaching, and these people had already got saved, and others would begin to get saved, and this man across the road, he just determined to close that down. And he got mad at me because I was preaching on, I even got on his chewing tobacco. And I got on his whiskey. He could drink it out there and chew and spit and look at me, and no more than every night he got madder. Madder. And the first night he did, he come over there and he's going to get right up there in there and tear it up. And there was a big old man that had his family had already got saved, a big old fella. And he said, here's how God will do it. This man came up there and started making a big trouble, you know. And this man just walked up and grabbed him by the shirt collar.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to break your nose if you don't get out of here. He said, my son's got saved, and my daughter's got saved, and my grandchildren are getting saved. And he said, you're going to get a whipping if you don't get out.
Well, he left. He left.
Did you ever see something like that? Oh, yeah, they get mad.
Oh, yes.
So that got right. We thought we was rid of it. The next night he comes out, and he comes out with a shotgun. And I come on, threatening to shoot me, aiming at me. Somebody got a hold of him, you know. But, you know, his daughter, about 30 years old, I think, and his daughter runs to the altar. I don't know whether she was afraid of what he's going to do or wanting to get saved. But I guess it's maybe a little bit of both. Because when she run to the altar, there was 26 other people went to the altar there with his daughter. And they took his gun away from him and ushered him back home and told him to get in there and sit down and shut up. So then we had revival.
Yeah, that's right.
We had revival because that stirred the whole community.
That's
all
right.
The people knew these people and knew the conditions they were in. It broke out into a Holy Ghost revival. Yeah. I went back the next year and they had 68 saved, but we had 127 people saved in that revival out in that old field. I mean, there wasn't even places to sit. They're sitting on car fenders and things like that. God wants to have a revival, and he can have it anywhere that we'll let him have it. I don't know why I told this tonight, but I'll tell you what, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Come on, God. In John 6:63, it said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's people that's preachers today, several of them have come out of that revival. Pastoring churches.
Praise the Lord.
There's out there today. One of them pastors a church right down the road for that revival. Fact of the matter is, it was the man that came the first night, and him, they said, was one of the meanest men in Oregon County. He's pastoring the church down the road.
That's wonderful.
See that? Well, now let's talk about change just a little bit. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. What are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to that. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. This is for you. It's forever. It's for me. Now I said, the Lord is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, with open face. Now that means there's no veil upon our face. You remember that Moses had a veil upon his face when he came off. And there's no veil. It's open. That we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. That's the Bible. What do we see? The glory of the Lord. More and more I see glory. Every scripture I read, I begin to see the glory of the Lord, the calling of the glory and virtue, the glory of virtue, glory and virtue. And we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What happens to us? We are changed. See, the thing of it is, people go to church and go to altar, but they don't change. They don't change. They don't read the Bible. They don't get in the Word. They don't have a consistent prayer life. They're not faithful to the church. I go when I want to. We see that when you get that, you get where you don't want to.
That's it.
But see, we all with open face beholding us in a glass the glory of the Lord. We all with open face beholding us in a glass the glory of the Lord. What happens to us? I want to get through this. Our chain. Chain. Now changed into what? The same image. From where? From glory to glory. So there's different degrees of glory to glory to glory to glory. We're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Now, Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1 said, who being the brightness of the glory, speaking of his Father, he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, Jesus is the express image of his power and he has the glory of the Father. Now, if we all enter the same image and we change into the same image from glory to glory, who are we changing into like? Who will want to be like? Jesus. Then who's Jesus like? He told him in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me.
That's it.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place. Somebody said, well, they're going to prepare a mansion. No, he said, there's many mansions there, but he said he's going to have us a place. And he said, there's where I am, there you're going to be also.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, what do you want? It doesn't make any difference. Whatever he wants for me. If he's there, that's good enough for me.
Amen.
If it's a cabin in glory, then that'd be all right with me. But if it's a mansion, that'd be all right. I'll take whatever he wants me
to
have. See, we're going to learn to not be picky, but we're not learning. You know, people claim, see, used to be claiming this. I ain't heard much about that anymore. They must have really can't claim nothing anymore. Huh? It always wears out. You know, you can pull rabbits out of the hat for a little while, but after a while, people catch on what's going on.
Yes,
and it flies away. I mean,
yes, sir.
But I'll tell you what, this book right here, it'll stand forever. It's a foundation.
Amen.
And it'll stand in your life. It'll stand in your church. It will save your wife. It'll save your husband.
Yes,
it'll save your children. Come on. It'll save your neighborhood.
Yes,
you know what the United States needs? Everybody's got an idea what it needs. A good old-fashioned will set the captive free, bind up the brokenhearted, and loose them in prison. That will change the whole thing.
Yes.
And it needs it from the White House, through Congress, and clear on down to state levels.
We
need a revival. And who knows, would have ever thought that Jonah would come into Nineveh and preach a revival, and the king and everybody got saved. What could happen if we just all do up our parts? You see, everybody's got a soul. It may be corrupted, but we're to stir up their pure mind by reason of use. And God is dealing with so many church people. I can just feel it. There's a lot of people I'm seeing now that's going to the altar, and they're repenting that wouldn't have done that at all 10 years ago. I'm seeing it. We're seeing a move begin to start up in Missouri.
Wonderful.
We're feeling a move down in Arkansas where I'm preaching. We feel a move off in other states, Illinois. Feel something. You can feel it in the air. You know, I hear the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry tree, as David said. God said, when you hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry tree, that's when you go out to battle.
Yes.
We're warriors.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we're warriors. We're supposed to fight battles. We have it. But we're tough.
Yes.
Somebody said, I don't want to be tough. Well, you were supposed to be tough. We're not fighting a hand-to-hand battle.
No.
We're fighting it up in the air.